You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, my name is Eric G., and I am your brand new host for the Locked On Thunder podcast. Please excuse us while we're still a little bit under construction here. Normally, you can hear me on the G League podcast, and you'll still be able to hear me on that for ThunderDigest.com. I've been covering the Thunder for the past 4 years. I'm at Shoot Around. I'm at all the home games. I'm very easy to spot, so if you see me, come up and say hi. And from now until the foreseeable future, I will be doing the Locked On Thunder podcast Monday through Friday right here on the Locked On Network. And I'm very excited to announce that there are a lot of really cool things coming for the website. It is going to be a process. We're going to continue to build it. But I promise we're going to do everything we can to be your one-stop shop for Oklahoma City Thunder. And coming up today on the podcast, we will be talking about Russell Westbrook and just how clutch this guy is. Last night, he hits the game winner. Thunder beat the Kings 110-107. But was there another option for Billy Donovan? Was there another guy that should have been able to take the shot? I'll tell you why there should be at least two options every time the Thunder are in that situation. And let's face it, the way that the Thunder have been playing this year, there's a very good chance they are going to be in that situation a lot for the rest of the season. In segment two, we'll talk about some trouble in San Antonio and how that is going to help Oklahoma City. Plus, it's been a very rough week for one Mark Cuban. But he did say something that was insightful and truthful. And Clay Bennett needs to take a close listen to what Mark Cuban said, as well as some other owners in the NBA. And we will tell you what that is all about. And then finally, in the third segment, GSW's on the schedule for tomorrow night. And can the Thunder make it three straight versus the Warriors? We'll talk about what's really changed in that rivalry. I think more importantly, what we've got to ask ourselves is, despite the Thunder being 2-0 against Golden State, do the Warriors take this Thunder team seriously, or are they still looking at them like a team they can take out in a 7-game series and make quick work of OKC? If your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you need to be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Thunder is listened to by 98% men. That is our biggest share of audience, and also 80% of them are between the ages of 18 and 44. So if that is your demo, if that is really the audience you're trying to cultivate, then jump on board. We would love to have you. You can email David Locke, who is the head of the Locked On Network, and he's at DLock, that's L-O-C-K, that's D-L-O-C-K-E, D-L-O-C-K-E, I want to make sure I get that right, at gmail.com. Plus, our rates are very reasonable, and if you're local and you're listening to this and you want to get me via direct message, you can always do so on Twitter at G-E-E-H-S-O, and I do want to ask you to follow me on Twitter at G-E-E-H-S-O, and tell me what you think of the show, what needs to be improved. And normally, every Friday, since this is our first podcast, we're not going to do it this Friday, but every other Friday from now on, we will get to your emails, tweets, and try and answer as many questions about Oklahoma City as we can. All right, enough of the pomp and circumstances. We've had all the fuss and feathers, as Vince Scully liked to say. Let's jump right into it. Russell Westbrook hits the game-winning shot for Oklahoma City last night. They're now 1-0 after the All-Star break. Just 1.5 games behind San Antonio in the Western Conference, and it's Russ doing Russ things. And of the big three in Oklahoma City, this year, Russ is the only one that is top five in clutch stats. And I don't like to usually throw out a lot of numbers, but if you're wondering what clutch stats are, I'll tell you exactly how they are defined here. It's in the fourth quarter or overtime with 5 minutes left, and neither team is ahead by five. That's clutch stats. Russ, the only one for Oklahoma City who's even in the top 20, let alone the top five. And you can imagine for Paul George and Carmelo Anthony, that was going to go down this year, knowing that Russ is the man and he wants the ball in his hand every time the game is on the line. Still, I do believe there was another choice last night And that was Carmelo Anthony, who was red hot. He was 7 of 12 from beyond the arc, and he was 8 of 17 from the field in general. Plus, you go back to 2012, and I realize that was 5 years ago. But when you were talking about clutch stats 5 years ago, Carmelo Anthony was second only to Kobe Bryant. And I don't believe that that ever leaves you. Even if the numbers go down, you still know how to be clutch. And Carmelo was so on fire last night. Even if he's the best guy to inbound the ball because of his height and his length, and even if Steven Adams provides you some stuff like blocking out, etc., and you don't want him throwing in the ball, I'd like to see Carmelo and Russ on the court at the same time with a team having to account for both of them so it doesn't make Russ easy to double team. And with Carmelo's proven track record, he's somebody that you have to account for. This sort of goes back to the days of first year Billy Donovan, all the days of Scott Brooks. You had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook on the floor together. Who's getting the ball? Who's taking the shot? Most people knew it was going to Kevin Durant, but you always had to know, keep your eye on Russ. And when Russ got the ball, whether there was 1 second or five, he was generally the guy that was going to put it up. It's just to give the defense something a tad more to account for. And with Carmelo, there's this growing sense of confidence that I see in him that he is just gaining during his time here. Plus, he's developing into being a little bit more of a role player. I don't think he minds at all Russ being the man and taking the last shot. But when you have been the guy on every team that you've been a part of since you've came into the NBA, then you still have some of that in you. Let's watch Carmelo Anthony put a little bit of that to use. Also, last night, Russell Westbrook gets his 18th triple-double of the season. And if you're looking on the triple-double meter, that is his 97th career triple-double overall, which puts him fourth on the list. He's fourth on the list for all-time triple-doubles, but he's now just 11 from passing Jason Kidd. More importantly, 42 from passing Magic Johnson, which should come here in the next couple of seasons. Russ is automatically a Hall of Famer. I think we knew that. But I think what this does for Russ is it certainly puts him in the conversation with guys like Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, as far as being the most exciting players or one of the most exciting players to watch in the NBA. Now, all those guys have rings. Russ doesn't. I'll be the first to tell you, when judging a guy on individual performance, I believe rings are very overrated, even in the NBA, because so much goes beyond your control as a player. You can't control who the guys are that the GM puts around you. You can't control if they stay healthy. You can control whether or not you trust them and you're going to put them in situations to win. But when you do, they're the ones that have to come up big. When we are talking about strictly individual performance, Russell Westbrook is right up there with some of the all-time greats. And as long as he keeps doing things that he did last night, which is have a triple-double and hit the game-winning shot, we will speak with him, or we will speak of him, with so many that came before. And eventually, Russell Westbrook is going to edge his way into that conversation of guys that belong on the Mount Rushmore NBA. And I hate those conversations because you can only put four on, and obviously there are more than the four. There are more than four great players. But if Allen Iverson was the one to revolutionize what the point guard was, Russell Westbrook has taken it to that next level. And just seeing the production and where he puts his teammates now and what he's able to take on his shoulders last year, getting the Thunder into the playoffs, despite the fact that they didn't have Kevin Durant and he really was their only option, now with two other guys, and he's still the guy that makes it happen. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Coming up in segment two, I will tell you why Kawhi Leonard being out and the San Antonio Spurs are in a situation that they're not going to recover from. Or I'll tell you why they're not going to be able to recover from this position, as they have done so many other times before. This is the Locked On Thunder podcast. I am Eric G. And if you've got a company and you want men between the ages of 18 and 44, well, come here. Come to the Locked On Thunder podcast, and we'll be more than glad to help you out, because 98% of our audience is men. 80% of those are between the ages of 18 and 44, and this is where you want to be. We will do a great job for your company. Our rates are reasonable. Great rates. You can get David Locke. He is the head of this whole operation, and there are several Locked On podcasts for both the NBA and the NFL that you can get on different websites. And all you got to do is email David Locke at dlocke, that's D-L-O-C-K-E, and find out how you can become one of the sponsors here on Locked On Thunder. So Kawhi Leonard is out, and Greg Popovich doesn't think he's coming back. More importantly, Kawhi Leonard has spent the last few days getting a second opinion on his right quad to see if he can go out. Now, he's been medically cleared, but he doesn't want to play. And it sort of reminds me of what happened a few years ago when Derrick Rose was playing for the Chicago Bulls. This was playoff time. He was medically cleared to play and didn't want to get back on the floor against the Miami Heat. Chicago Bulls fans turned against Derrick Rose. The organization turned against Derrick Rose. And ultimately, it ended up in a bad divorce. And the San Antonio Spurs are starting to head down that road with Kawhi Leonard. And why this is so fascinating is you don't see a guy like Greg Popovich ever lose players like this. And San Antonio has that New England Patriot mentality of next man up. Somebody's hurt. Somebody just fills in. And generally, star players in both those organizations don't get cross with anybody in the franchise. And then once they do, Randy Moss, you're on your way out. And I'm sure that if the San Antonio Spurs want to trade Kawhi Leonard, that there is no shortage of people who would be putting up assets to get one of the top players in the NBA. It's just weird to think that maybe Pop's mentality, his take-no-crap style, has finally worn thin, and the guy that it wore thin on was the best player in the organization. And now you're relying on a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge to carry you through the playoffs. Plus, you're 0-3 in your last three games. You're 4-6 in your last 10. And you've got one of the toughest schedules in the NBA coming up. This is great news for the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are just a game and a half behind San Antonio. And once the rest of the team sees that you've lost that star player, that that message is no longer getting through to him, it makes it a lot easier for them to start questioning that authority figure. That's where Greg Popovich finds himself now. And that's the thing I got to ask is, how many guys at San Antonio still have that utter belief in Greg Popovich that they've always had? And is that finally gone from the San Antonio Spurs? If so, the Thunder should be able to take advantage of it. Also, some of these other teams log jam in the West, be it the Denver Nuggets, the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Thunder could eventually find themselves in the three seed, maybe not an impressive three seed, but it's there for the taking. And a lot of it has to do with just the fact that the Spurs are doing more damage to themselves than necessarily anybody else in the league doing damage for them. Big news this week for the NBA. Or big news here the last few days, and that is what's going on with the Dallas Mavericks and Mark Cuban. And I'm not going to get into some of the social issues that the Mavericks are facing, although those are well worth talking about. But Mark Cuban, who's had an extremely rough week, did make the comment on a podcast with Dr. J that it would be better for the Mavericks to lose than it would to win. Adam Silver slaps him with a $600,000 fine. Mark Cuban pulls out a check, writes it, no harm, no foul. But he hit the nail on the head. In sports, you can't be mediocre. You need to be really good or you need to be really bad to have any chance. And I don't have a problem with tanking. Now, it sucks for the fans because you pay good money. you go to see the game or you're going to invest emotionally in a team or you're going to watch on television, you want to see a product that you know can compete night in, night out. But if that product just stays, say, around the 8th to the 6th seed or 8 to 5, and that's the best you can do with your current roster, I'm all for going the way of the Philadelphia 76ers, bringing on a bunch of guys who were terrible, letting them lose, accumulate draft picks, develop through the draft, build yourself a young core, and then be able to sustain that for a while. And heaven forbid if the Oklahoma City Thunder ever hit the skids the way the Philadelphia 76ers or the Dallas Mavericks have now. But if that's the case, Clay Bennett needs to pay really close attention to what's going on in Dallas and listen to the words of Mark Cuban. Maybe not about your employees and how they treat women, but definitely listen to him on the idea of tanking. And it's not something that Adam Silver should have a real problem with, because the whole idea of tanking is you're going to be bad, so eventually you can get good. And it's going to be a struggle for a while financially. It's going to be a struggle to keep interest. But once you are good, it's proven time and time again in just about every single professional market, sans some places like Atlanta, fans will come back. And here in Oklahoma City, where we revolve not only around college football, but we're pretty much a winner's town, if the Thunder get bad and they start winning and they show they can compete in the playoffs and possibly win a championship, then the peak will be full, people will be happy, and everyone will be joining in. Coming up in segment three, we'll take a look ahead to the Warriors and the Thunder, GSW, this Saturday night on ABC. What's really changed, but more importantly, how serious do we think Golden State is taking OKC? It's all right here on the Locked on Thunder podcast. Remember, men 18 to 44, if that is your target audience, we want you to be a sponsor of Locked on Thunder. We would love to help you out. 98% of the people that listen to this podcast are men. You do some other numbers, extrapolate that, you get 80% are between the ages of 18 and 44. Our rates, hey, they're second to none. We're not going to cost you an arm and a leg at all to advertise with us, and we will do you an excellent job, and we will do our best to bring people into your business. All you have to do is email David Locke, that's D-L-O-C-K-E @gmail.com, and find out how you can be a part of the Locked on Thunder podcast. Golden State, Oklahoma City coming up this Saturday night on ABC. OKC 2-0 against the Warriors this year by a combined score of, drumroll please, 233 to 196. Now, where this starts to get a little hairy and where we start to push the panic button is when we look at the bench scores, because the Thunder bench, not a big surprise to anyone, has been outscored 63 to 45 in these two games. So what's really different this year between Oklahoma City and Golden State? And it comes down to this. Golden State knows that they can lose to Oklahoma City during the regular season. The last time these two teams play, OKC got off to that great start. They showed they wanted the game more. In fact, they did it the first time these teams met. In an 82-game season, and with the Warriors knowing that it's all about the playoffs, they're more than willing to concede these games. And if anything, what I worry about is Oklahoma City getting a false sense of confidence, just how good they can play against Golden State or how easy it would be to beat Golden State in a 7-game series. Because until the Thunder's bench improves, I can't pick them to beat the defending world champions. And unfortunately, I don't think there's a move out there or moves that Sam Presti can make, which would greatly improve the bench so much that you'll see a drastic change in scoring. I don't know and can tell you right now that Golden State takes Oklahoma City seriously. One, because of the bench, and I think two, because of the way that they manhandled them last year. And three, once you've been to that mountaintop, you know what it takes to win. And we know that the playoffs are such a different animal compared to the regular season. A few years back, Oklahoma City was 4-0 against the Spurs and lost in six games to them. I do think Oklahoma City would win a couple of games against Golden State. I just don't see them beating them in a seven-game series. And even if the Thunder win on Saturday night, which at this point I expect them to, despite how that game looked against the Sacramento Kings, we know the Thunder have a tendency to play to their competition. Thus, they raise the level, and I think for Russ and everybody around Russ, they want to win that game for him. But come playoff time, it has to go to Golden State, and there's no doubt in their mind they've got an overwhelming amount of confidence, not only against Oklahoma City, but anybody they match up with. The best thing the Thunder can do is not just win this game, but continue to have a great performance by the bench and continue to find guys that Golden State's going to have to account for and worry about. So whether or not that's Alex Abrines or Jeremy Grant or even Raymond Felton, who has put up some tremendous workman-like numbers all season long, that's what the Thunder have to do, is just to continue to play tough and develop somebody other than the big four that Golden State fear. Because right now, outside of that, I don't think anybody fears the Thunder outside of those guys, because everybody else has just been too inconsistent. And Paul George has said that he's not worried about that now. There's a long way to go in the season. Well, you're more than halfway through the season, and you just got done with the All-Star break. It's time now for the Oklahoma City Thunder to start getting more consistent, start working out some of those kinks. The bad thing is that when you've gone this far into the season and you've been this inconsistent, it's just a habit. And the Thunder can talk about it all they want, but you're going to have to see it not over a three-game span, not over a five-game span, but of a 10-game span of just scoring, defense, and effort. It's all got to come together for most people to believe. Again, if you want to get on the Locked on Thunder bandwagon, all you have to do is contact David Locke, D-Locke. That's D-L-O-C-K-E at gmail.com. Men 18 to 44, that is our target audience. If that is your target audience, this is where you want to be. We want you on LockedOnThunder.com or Locked on Thunder, the podcast, and we'll have a lot of fun. I'm Eric G. Coming up on Monday, obviously, we'll take a look back at the Thunder's performance against Golden State. Plus, we'll look at the upcoming game against the Magic that night. We'll hear from Thunder players as well. And we'll start our regular benchmarks, and we will rank the Power Five in the Western Conference. We will do that every single Monday. So until next time, this is Eric G. saying, remember, love and life are deep.